Welcome to the Clifford Chance Careers Podcast and the Celebrating Culture Podcast Series led by REACH, our network for advancing race equality and celebrating heritage. In this series, we're celebrating and highlighting the cultures that make us who we are and that shape the diverse experiences and voices at Clifford Chance. In this episode, we will be focusing on East and Southeast Asian Heritage Month, which we are celebrating this September. I'm Jessica Kung, and I'm an associate in the Derivatives and Structured Products Group in the Clifford Chance London office, and a member of the REACH Steering Committee. Today, I'm joined by Selena Lau, a senior associate in the General Banking Practice of our London office. Selena is also one of the co-founders of Voices Here, an organization dedicated to eliminating racial discrimination against those of East and Southeast Asian heritage, which you will be telling us more about later. Thank you for joining me today, Selena. To kick things off, can you please briefly introduce yourself to our listeners?
Thank you very much for having me on this podcast. As a brief introduction, I grew up in Hong Kong and moved to the UK when I was 10 and did the rest of my studies here. But since then, I've done stints of work back in Hong Kong as well as stints of work in the UK. So I have experience working and living both in Asia and also in the UK.
Thank you. So as I mentioned at the start, September is East and Southeast Asian Heritage Month. This is the first time we're marking this occasion at CC. Can you briefly explain to our listeners what East and Southeast Asian Heritage Month is and why it is important to you?
Yes, of course. So East and Southeast Asian Heritage Month was set up by an organization called BSEAN, which is the British East and Southeast Asian Network. And this is a non-profit grassroots organization, and one of their main aims is to promote positive representation of the East and Southeast Asian community in the UK. This actually only started last year, and I understand as a result of sort of the COVID pandemic and everything that happened, and it's meant to be a celebration of the richness and sort of all the different ethnicities of the cultures involved in the East and Southeast Asian diaspora. There are at least 18 different countries sort of incorporated in that ASEA area, and there are also more than 160 different documented ethnicities, so certainly there's a lot to celebrate. East and Southeast Asia Heritage Month is celebrated all over the country, not only in London, but also in places like Liverpool and Cambridge. And they incorporate a host of different events, for example, things related to food. So there are pop-ups in Chinatown and also supper clubs. For example, I know of one that is a Malaysian supper club in Soho. They also include podcasts and panel discussions. So this is definitely something that I think we all need and we all missed, particularly during COVID when, you know, everyone was so isolated. So it's great to be able to share experiences with, histories with, and also advice with different people, not just within your own community, but also with different communities in the ASEAN sphere. And, you know, everyone has had pretty similar experiences probably. So it's nice to be able to have that interaction. And it's also important to recognize all these different communities in the UK and what they bring to the table. After all, a lot of these communities here have been here for a long time and are definitely, you know, a very rooted part of the UK culture and community as well.
That's very interesting and sounds like it's been a pretty jam-packed month all over the country with plenty for everyone to take part in.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's definitely moved on a lot since 2021, which was when it first started. And it was a lot more sort of small scale back then. And it's great to see, you know, different communities, different people, and including corporations like CC, who have now picked up on this and are actually celebrating it together with us.
So you briefly touched on just now the pandemic and the experiences of those of East and Southeast Asian heritage during this period of time. I understand you are one of the founders of an organization called Voices Here. Can you tell us a bit more about the organization and why you felt it was needed, especially during this time?
Yeah, of course. As you mentioned previously, Voices Here is an organization that I, myself, and a few friends, some of which are actually ex-CC employees as well, set up during the COVID pandemic in the hopes of eliminating racial discrimination against East and Southeast Asians through education and through amplifying the voices of this community here. I think it's important for everyone of the ASEA community to feel like they are a part of the UK community as a whole and that they belong here. And during COVID, because of a lot of, the conspiracy theories going around and some of the press, there was a lot of anti-Asian hate. And this, we all, as members of the founders of Voice ASEA, felt this both in person, whether it was sort of verbal or even physical, and also online. And, you know, this was very disheartening for us because we all love UK as our home. And, you know, we felt like we were part of the community, but because of that experience, we felt, you know, quite alienated and actually a little bit despairing of where the community fit in and where or how kind of this might all end. And we just really wanted to do something to help other people in the community, to just gather together and show support. You know, as a few interesting tidbits of information, you know, anti-Asian hate speech online increased by 1,662% in 2020, according to one study which was done by Ditch the Label together with the Independent newspaper. The UK was at one point at the beginning of the pandemic, the third in the world in terms of anti-Asian hate speech. You know, those are some shocking figures that you would never expect of this country and the city and, you know, all the people who live here, because for us, you know, this has been our home for so long and we've never felt like outsiders, you know, in quite the same way. As we had during that time. So that's why we sort of came together and we set up Voice ASEA. It wasn't a great time, but, you know, we wanted to take the negatives and do something positive and hopefully something that can help the community.
So based on your work with Voice ASEA and seeing some of the work taking place across various corporate organizations, what are some things that corporate organizations can do to make sure that they are more inclusive of colleagues of East and Southeast Asian heritage?
This is a really interesting question, and there have been quite a few reports that have come out recently that actually address sort of this issue as to how East and Southeast Asians can feel more included in the workplace and how their careers can also be helped. I think one of the really key things that have come out is that mentoring and coaching is very important. A lot of East and Southeast Asians feel like they're not getting the level of mentoring and coaching that maybe some other people might be getting. I think that's one of the things that CC does very well, both in terms of reverse mentoring, where you have someone who's ASEAN who reverse mentors someone, you know, pretty high up in the organization so that they can understand the nuances of the culture and kind of their experience in the workplace, as well as mentoring, you know, people of ASEAN heritage. I think there are also some other simple things that organizations and even people within organizations can do. For example, there are some ASEAN cultures where they're vegetarian for religious reasons, or they don't drink alcohol for religious reasons. So it's always important to make sure that if you have, you know, any socials or anything like that, you know, you cater for their diet and also for their needs in terms of drinks. I also think that, you know, sometimes an awareness of the timing around key ASEAN holidays would be, you know, very helpful. You know, our version of Lunar New Year is technically the equivalent of Christmas, so, you know, we don't get a public holiday for that. But if the firm and people in that particular corporation are aware that, you know, this is an important day and, you know, employees might not be as available as they usually are, then that's something that would be really helpful. I always think that, you know, encouraging a culture where people are not afraid to ask questions is very important. I would rather people ask me a question and for me to, you know, gently let them know that whether that was inappropriate or wrong, or, you know, just answer any queries they have and educate them on, you know, something to do with Chinese culture, for example, rather than them staying quiet and being afraid that, you know, they're stepping on anyone's toes. I think, you know, a culture of openness is always one that's preferred.
Great. Thank you so much, Selena. Those are some great suggestions, and I think you've given our listeners plenty of food for thought. We have now come to the end of our podcast. Thank you again, Selena, for sharing with us your insights and personal experiences. I'm sure we have all learned a lot from this podcast. You have been listening to the East and Southeast Asian Heritage Month episode of the Clifford Chance Celebrating Culture podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel to stay up to date on future episodes coming soon. To find out more about Clifford Chance, please visit our website at www.cliffordchance.com.